Welcome back to Reflections, your host, Harry Gonzalez. At the end of the first segment, I was entering into Gustavo Vélez's article on San Juan going out in the market with bonds and, you know, good ratings from Fitch and from Moody's. And basically, he thought he questions or the possibility of decentralizing. We were given San Juan, the city of San Juan, improving its financial situation. And he says the same thing with Carolina and Bayamón, that are also doing a good job, whereas our local government is not doing all that great. But at least the positive, it can be done if we work at it. There's an article I've been talking about. I think about three different articles on the difference between economic development, just improvement in the economy versus our well-being. And a really good article by Leandro Colón Alicea, an economist. It's in con acento propio, and this is the 5th of August, the same date as Gustavo Vélez's article. And he basically, in very well-written presentation, a full page in El Nuevo Día, goes into the same theme, that economic development without equitable distribution and improvement in our quality of life, and our capital, you know, social capital, and more liberalizing economies so that it's easier to do business. All these good things that everybody seems to go along with. Not everybody. Most of us seem to go along with, but boy, it's hard to get them done. So if you have a chance, el desarrollo, the development of Puerto Rico, the development that Puerto Rico requires, necesita. Good. The same thing. It's economic development with the quality of life and with our well-being in mind and sustainability. You know, one of the things it brings to mind is that from my point of view, everybody is studying what are the things that we have to do for our well-being. What are the factors? And you know, for Proyecto Rotario Pro Paz and in other moments during past programs, I use and believe we in Puerto Rico can use the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. There's 17 of them, adopted by 192 countries, including the U.S., thought out through many, many years, now with a goal through 2030, and they have it has everything. Including water, which, you know, we probably thought we didn't have a problem with because we have so much water, but we have a serious problem with water. So the only thing I kind of take issue with, everybody sort of says these are four or five things, and I say we don't have to think about, you know, what are the areas that we have to address, both for addressing violence and improving our society and our well-being and our quality of life. There are 17 beautifully set out, carefully elaborated, and, you know, by the United Nations and the Sustainable Development Goals, the 17. Objetivos de Desarrollo Sostenible in Spanish. So that article is very good. And there's another article that I kind of found interesting. As you know, I've been mentioning the Normandy. I so much want to see that come back to life, that hotel. We talked about, you know, a novel on it. We've had the person who wrote it and everything. So I've always been interested in the Normandy. And there's an article by Yvonne Marcial Vega, who happens to be living in Brussels now, and speaks how the quality of life there, people not using cars, and basically attacking the multi-story parking that has been proposed for the Normandy area, Escambrón area, and says that's just another, you know, more cement and kind of encouraging cars. I like the, you know, I agree with the vision of reducing cars and having people use public transportation. We've talked about Singapore, how they did it over many years. But, you know, you have to improve public transportation. But with respect to this particular multi-level parking, it seems to me that it could serve as the parking for the Normandy Hotel, which incidentally, there was a very good, I don't know where I don't remember where I read it. I think it was in social media, you know, Facebook, I think. But it basically, it was by an interior designer and proposing that the particular structure, instead of a hotel, be converted to senior adult living, independent living, assisted living, and all that, you know, the hotel size units with its bathroom and major, you know, common areas could work really well, and that would not require as much parking as a hotel. Yeah, interesting, you know, proposal. But going back in terms of this particular article that attacks the multi-story parking, it seems to me that it first of all, it's where parking already is taking place, so it's already, you know, asphalted, so it's not eliminating any green areas. And that, if we can stop the cars or provide parking so that cars don't go from there on, because that's where the tapón is, the problems and the vehicle problems that, you know, start taking place. And eliminating from getting into Old San Juan completely. If we could have a shuttle service, and then from there, also the people that want to walk or the scooters or bicycle, it's very, very comfortable to do that from there onto Old San Juan. So it seems to me that, you know, I'm in agreement with the vision, but I don't see that multi-story parking as something that we shouldn't encourage to take place. I think it'd be good, and it could help to move the Normandy structure one way or another, because it does need parking, and that whole area needs parking. There's a big demand for it, and then we're trying to. I'm helping Neil da Coma, so the structure of the Monument for Peace there in the Muñoz Rivera. And if we want to develop the Muñoz Rivera as a really nice park that really invites people, get that rehabilitated, again, you need parking. It has very limited parking there itself. And so that's parking story would be good for the Parque Muñoz Rivera. And, of course, we do have to improve public transportation and see how we can reduce, you know, automobiles. But those are my take. And, you know, sometimes these articles, you kind of, when you reflect on them, well, sometimes I'm in agreement, sometimes I'm in disagreement. And this one, I'm more in disagreement than I am in agreement with respect to the particular multi-story parking. I mentioned, you know, the David Skeel, his new book, and I went to, well, first of all, there was an article, because I did go to the inauguration at the Chamber of Commerce, but there was an article before that written by Mayra Montero, La Historia Secreta de la Deuda, The Secret Story of the Debt, and based on that book, which she must have, she had an inside copy and obviously read, and speaks highly of it. It's an article, the 26th of July, and you know, it basically you know, goes into a lot of detail. As first of all, PREPA, which is really the critical one right now, to resolve, and how that problem developed, and whole stories with respect to the development of the legislation and what has happened and what's the success and how he sees things going forward. And so reading that very positive article by Mayra Montero led me to even be more interested in going to an activity that the Chamber of Commerce had at our house in San Patricio Plaza. The place was full. It required registration. Luckily, I didn't realize that because I've gone to a lot of inaugurations of books and never have had problems really getting in. But this one, I would have not been able to get in. But luckily, from the Empresa Escaparra, they had a table and there was a space for me. So I lucked out. And I went, and it was a pretty long presentation. But very good. And he had a PowerPoint, and he's a very, he's diplomatic. He's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, so very articulate. And with in his PowerPoint presentation with what the he had to say was very clear. One of the parts that I enjoyed the most, because last week we talked about Puerto Rico status with respect to the Commonwealth and what the Supreme Court recently has said, and my taking very passionate opposition to the what people say that the Supreme Court has said when it's completely untrue, and that there's no sovereignty, that we're a colony, and you read the case and over and over and over again, the Supreme Court is saying that there was a special status developed in 1952, and it gave us sovereignty similar to the state, and what the cases, they were very, very specific cases on the facts and on the law, that people have to understand what is the Supreme Court or a court holding, deciding, versus statements that are there that we call, the lawyers call, dicta. They're not the precedent. They're not binding. What's binding is the actual holding, the actual decision based on the facts and the law. But in any case, what he said at that, and the book is going to be available the 25th, so I haven't had, I was hoping to be able to buy it there, but I was not able, they didn't have enough copies, it hasn't really been published yet, it's the 25th of August, and so, but I found interesting his statement on one of the things that we really have wondered about is why was the fiscal board, why was that imposed, in quote, and not brought to the either the legislature or the Puerto Rico people for us to decide on? And he goes in, he described there that the book goes in, that it was a pragmatic decision with the cooperation of both parties. Pierluisi was the resident commissioner, and Garcia Padilla was the governor. And the analysis of the politicians was that if it went to the legislature for confirmation, that it would never, that would never happen. It would be delayed. The politics would be impossible. So from a pragmatic decision, they just decided that it was going to be go forward with what they had, because it was absolutely essential. Otherwise, Puerto Rico would have been in chaos because we were insolvent and our debt was not payable and all kinds of lawsuits. And so, but that's an interesting, and I'm going to go into the results of this unilateral with the power that the Congress has and how it can be taken away, what was given in the Commonwealth area. But that skill, I also got a kick that he said, and this is a pretty strong statement. He says that in a financial area, public financial area, Puerto Rico was an adolescent with a credit card. One thing I would have kind of liked to have asked them, but I knew there were tons of questions, and Jorge Kohlberg sort of, I think he probably had like 10 of them. They were very good ones, I'm sure. But my question would have been, you know, given that the U.S. now has a debt of $49.7 trillion, and that each day the interest on you know, to cover that debt is $7 billion. I wonder who is the adolescent with a credit card, and you know, the Congress and everything else took care of making sure that we were protected, and things were going to be developed in order to eliminate the chaos. But you know. Yeah. In the U.S., I think there's a problem looming. I'm really worried about. In terms of my comments on the Puerto Rico economy and going to this presentation by David Skill, I'm looking forward to reading that book. It has what he says at the end, the major challenge with PREPA and doing and getting that restructured is that the Golden Tree Asset Management, the debt are really, really aggressive. We're out of time again, and I'm going to sort of tie up this area of what he's recommending what he's saying is the challenge and how he sees things going forward. And then we'll move on to an interesting area of the Commonwealth, Puerto Rico, and it's is it a compact? Is it unilateral? Is it bilateral? Okay, we'll be right back after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.